Good morning, good morning, good morning, Journey Church. Somebody say good morning. How are you, Reels? You better be there, Reels. Amen. Come on, let's give a hand clap of praise to the Lord this morning. Amen. And for my insane hoverboard skills. All right. Hey, how many are Back to the Future fans? Any Back to the Future fans? You remember that movie, man. I'll tell you. You got Marty McFly. You got, who else you got? You got Doc Brown. You got Biff Tannen. That's right. You got the DeLorean. You've got, oh my goodness. You've got time travel. You've got the clock tower. You got so much stuff. And you also got my favorite thing, which is the hoverboard. Now, I know this hoverboard doesn't necessarily look exactly like what the hoverboard used to look like. We bought Javen one for his birthday. He absolutely begged to have one. And I remember in that moment I first got on it, and I said, I'm never going to do this again. Have you ever had a moment where you feel like you're going to fall, and every single muscle, I mean every muscle in your body is working together to save your life? Like, that is that moment right there. I remember that. But the boys just kept me going and asked me to keep going, and now I am super talented. Wouldn't you say that? Amen. You know, the point of the movie Back to the Future, right? You've got this Hill Valley, California teenager, and Tabitha, you can go ahead and go up with the lights. You've got this Hill Valley, California teenager, Marty McFly, who lives in a boring home, right? A pushover home. He's got a pushover dad, and he's tired of his dad, George McFly, getting pushed over and taken advantage of by his supervisor, Biff Tannen, right? He's just miserable in his life. And then on October 25th, 1985, Marty McFly gets a phone call from Doc Emmett Brown, and he says, meet me. Anybody remember where he told him to meet him? Twin Pines Mall. And there he meets the DeLorean. And he gets the opportunity to travel through time. And the point of the movie is McFly is so miserable in his present. He's so miserable in his today that he goes back to the past in hopes for a better future. Goes back to the past to try and find ways to make his today better. And then in the sequel, as you've seen, and I think they're turning off the AC because I know some people are a little cold right now. He goes back to the future, you know, to see, you know, how he could make his life and his today better. I want to stop right there, because right there is a parallel. Right there is something that I think we can kind of relate to, where so many people live in the past. So many people try and find ways to live in the future, where we're so miserable in our today when it comes to our life. Let's just get real here. Many of us wish we could do the same. Many of us wish we could have what Marty McFly had, an opportunity to go back to the past, repair the past, live the past, relive the past. Or we get caught up thinking about the future, about how much better it will be then, because there in the future, all our answers are going to be there for us. There in the future, then all of my today problems will be gone, or at least significantly a lot better than they are now. And I want to say this. In order to enjoy your future, you must, and if I could tell this to Marty McFly, I would, you must take advantage of your today. Time travel is not possible. In order to enjoy your future, you must take advantage of today. We cannot have a McFly mindset. And I know you know this, but I believe it's still worth mentioning. God is here right now. God is with you right now in this very moment. He's not waiting for you in your future. And God is not stuck back in the good old days of your past. God is with you right now. Somebody say right now. Because we are not meant to be present in our past. And we are not meant to be present in our future. We are meant to be present right where we are today. And much like in Back to the Future, McFly finds himself in his past and gets stuck back there and realizes it's not a place where he is meant to be. And then in the sequel, he finds himself stuck in the future and realizes it's not a place where he's supposed to be. He gets passionate in all those movies to get back to his today. And that's what God is saying to us in this room, Journey Church. Live in your today. I know we may not necessarily want to all the time if we just got real. But God isn't interested in living in your there and then and your future as much as he's passionate about being with you in your here and now. But so many people nonetheless are stuck in the past. So many people have mentally checked out of their present, disqualified the importance of their today, and already mentally living and looking toward the future. Statistics show an overwhelming majority of people greatly wish that they could go back and redo things. That an overwhelming majority of people are living in their past. That a significant number and percentage of people are already mentally checked out of today and skipping into the future. That statistics show, according to psychologists, that very few people are actually enjoying there today. And if that's you, and at times maybe you, maybe it's you right now, like McFly, we need to get you back here. We need to get you back to today, because there are great things to be done here. There are great things God wants to accomplish in your life today that he wants to do now for you to take advantage of your today, regardless of what you see around you that may motivate you and I away from our today. I want to share the importance of today. So let's get some of you back. And I want to share three keys as quickly as I can to get you back to today. Three keys that will help you live in your today, or once you get back to your today, stay in your today. And number one, it's this. To me, it's a very important key that we need to realize in getting back to today, and it's this. Forget the past. Forget the past. You know, we read a scripture a few weeks ago. And it was Philippians 3:13. As a matter of fact, we read this a lot here at Journey Church because we're all jacked up, right? And a lot of times that jacked up stuff is in our past and it's behind us, and it can have quite a hold on us even though it's behind us. And Philippians 3:13 says this, forgetting that which is, everybody say it together, behind, forgetting that which is behind. I think we read this. How many have read this before? Right? Almost everybody in this room. Forget, I think we read this. We nod at this. We amen this. I think we agree that this is an important truth to live out, but I think when it comes to living it out, we often find ourselves ill-equipped to live that scripture out that we see on the screen right here. Forgetting that which is behind, because I think we see the word forget and believe it implies erasing a memory. Right? I mean, the definition of forget is to put out of one's mind. Like, it's not there. When that is impossible, you cannot erase a memory. I can't forget, in that sense of the definition, what happened, what is in my past, the things that I did. If you've ever been incarcerated, you cannot forget that. If you've ever experienced the pain of a divorce, you cannot erase that memory. If you've ever had a moral failure or and it may have affected you in a major way, you cannot forget, you cannot erase the memory of that. And so I think we sometimes think that that's what that means, you know, like you have to erase the memory of what is behind. And I want to tell you something, that's impossible. I got good news for you. That's not what the verse is implying here. Because that would be a little discouraging not to be able to live out what God is saying. That word forgetting what is behind, that word forgetting in the Greek is epilanthanami. Epilanthanami, it's the Greek word for forgetting there. And that word literally means this: quit focusing on. Quit focusing on. Now, if I understand forgetting to understand its meaning in the Bible, doesn't mean to erase a memory, but to quit focusing on, now I've got some ability. Now I've got an ability to live this out. Can you change that? Matter of fact, let's just change that, because that's literally what the word forgetting means. Quit focusing on that which is behind. That's what we mean when we say forget the past. Focus. What's the definition of focus? The raw definition of focus is what you pay attention to. Now, that's important that we understand that definition, because you have a limited amount of attention real estate to give. You are completely finite. Micah, you got that little graphic there. This is your attention span. It's only contained within inside your dome, and it is a limited amount. You only have 24 hours in a day. You only have so much attention that you can give from the real estate of your mind to things. It's finite. And friends, we cannot spend the attention that we have, the capacity that we have, we cannot spend that and pay it to the past, to what is behind. Friends, we need to quit focusing on the past, and we don't have time to go into all the things that cause us to hold on to our past, to lock us in our past, or cause us to live in our past. But one thing I felt in prayer that I needed to talk about this morning that keeps us in our past is something called regret. I wish I could have. I wish I would have. I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish I could just go back. Every single person in this room has regrets. But it's important to not allow those regrets to grow to a point where they have you. You know, we've talked on other things that keep us in our past and previous sermons, unforgiveness, for example, right? Let me tell you what regret is. Regret is you not forgiving you. That's what regret is in its raw result. It's you not forgiving you. And that is the most dangerous type of war that you could fight. When you're fighting yourself in this manner. I'm telling you, things that keep us in our past. Things that lock us in. Things that get us stuck. Regret. When you're fighting yourself in this manner, it's a dangerous fight where you're literally, through the power of regret, hating yourself. Some of you in this room hate you. And somebody might be saying, well, shouldn't I hate me? Like, doesn't the Bible say something like that? I'm not talking about crucify your flesh hate. I'm talking about you hate everything about you because of the regret in your life. The self-esteem that you have is rock bottom. The you see no value to you. You see no value to your purpose. Depression sets in at the thought of yourself. So then the question becomes, how do you overcome regret? Because so often we get answers like, well, you can't change the past. Just accept it and move on. Which I don't like that. It's truthful, but there's so much
uncaring residue that surrounds that statement. You know, I think actually to overcome regret, it's a little more in-depth than that. What is regret, first of all, right? It's you not forgiving you. Regret is a way of thinking or feeling in which you blame yourself for things that have happened. Now, mind you, we can be productive with regret. And I think that's what God wants, for us to be productive with regret, because you can be productive with it in that it can help us learn to change our behavior for the future. But more times than not, we are unproductive with regret, where you completely and chronically blame yourself to a destructive level. And that in turn ends up creating mental challenges and issues and prolonged stress. It creates health problems. I'm telling you, we need to see the destructive danger of regret. Make regret productive. Allow it to help you make better choices. I messed up in the past, but I'm not going to mess up in the future. Allow it to build empathy in you so that you can help others who might be experiencing similar struggles. How many know it feels good to help somebody out? It's a good feeling when you go and say, I was instrumental in helping this person. And how many know one of the greatest ways to help somebody going through a struggle is when somebody else has been where you're going through. If you had a drinking problem in your life, man, don't drown in regret. Help other people out of that problem that they're experiencing. That right there is being productive with regret. Turn your regret into gratitude. Turn your regret into self-forgiveness. A renowned mental health counseling firm says you may think about regret in the following statements. I should have. How many have ever said that before? Right? I could have. I can't believe I. Why didn't I? When you catch yourself thinking a regretful statement, change it to a statement of gratitude. This can help you start thinking about the past in a positive light, wherein you can leave it and get to here today. For example, instead of saying, I should have gone to college, change that statement of regret into a statement of gratitude by saying, I'm grateful it's not too late to go to college. I'm going to tell you this. I sat next to an 81-year-old man when I was in Bible college. 81. I was 18. And I said, sir, if I may ask why you're in here. And he said, I still got breath in my body, and I'm still pursuing the dream God told me to call to. And I love that. 81 years old, taking those regrets and being productive with it. Or instead of saying, I could have tried harder to stop drinking, don't say those words. Change it to, I'm grateful that I can try to do better now, because you still have your today. You see, your past is holding you back from getting you to be able to live free in your today. And friends, if this is you, the only approach to this is to forgive you. And nobody's saying this is easy, but the key to forgiveness is found in the example that Jesus left us, and that is to respond to hate with love. Don't be disgusted with yourself. Embrace yourself in a spiritual positive light. You are God's son. You are God's daughter. That's an important thing right there. You need to give yourself the honor that God gives you and sees you worthy as having. Turn the evil that's in your past into something good. Make lemonade out of the lemons that are being held in your hands right now. Find the proverbial silver lining in that dark cloud. Allow the bad behind you to bring the good out of you. It still amazes me to this day, and I'm not a farmer, but that manure is considered the best fertilizer in bringing forth the best fruit. Manure. That just illustrates that God can use great stuff behind us to create good fruit from us. Amen. Right? He can use anything to bring out the best, no matter what it is. And let's not allow anything to hold us in our past. God says we're too valuable for that. Would somebody say a good amen? Or maybe you've got great things in your past and you're doubting it could ever get better. If that's you, I call you Al Bundy. Right? The good old days. Isn't that what Al Bundy was all about? Just how good it was back then, and it's just, we'll never get any better. Friends, I'm here to tell you, I can't stand that mindset because you are disqualifying what God can do in your life. Listen to me right now. With God, your best days are still ahead of you. Quit that mindset. Forget the past. Quit focusing on the past. We've got so much real estate. Number two, quit living in the future. Don't mentally check out of your today and just focus on what is to come. Not that it's not important to look forward, but it's important that we don't look forward too much, where we discount the importance of our today. I know we all want to know the future. We are passionate to know the future at some level. But friends, we got to stop living there. We get too caught up in there. I've shared this before a few years back, but I want to share it in a different light today. When I was in Bible college, I remember, as every Bible college student is, they are passionate about what they're going to do. We just can't wait to get out. Like, we're in there, we're studying, we're going nuts. We just, final exams and papers and is crazy. And you're there, you're preparing, but you just get tired of it. You're like, I'm here to go there. So can we just make my time here fast, And it's Bible college, so we've got church 5 times a week. We're in chapels like all the time, and we were in a very well-renowned Bible college, and so we had speakers, well-known speakers from all around the world come and speak into us, from well-known evangelists to, back then, Reggie White for the Green Bay Packers. Like, people would come like that and just speak into our lives and speak faith in the men. And every time we would see this, we'd just be like, oh, I can't wait until God gives me the opportunity to do ministry. And I just got so excited. And there was, it's a buzz, it's a mindset among all students, and you just can't wait. And I remember this person came into the chapel, and she was considered like somebody that was used really mightily to, like, kind of share words of wisdom and knowledge and some kind of prophecy type context. And she would just go up to people and read their mail, like, you've been going through this and this and this and this and this and this and this, and they're like, oh my gosh, how do you know this? Yeah, God told me, and says you need to do this, and it was amazing. And she's going throughout the chapel, and she's going to somebody and say, you stand up, and she's like, God tell me you're called to go to Haiti, and they're like, how did you know? I said, because God's going to give you the nation of Haiti. And that person stood up. And I know that person today is a missionary in Haiti, has a church of 1,000 people. It's absolutely amazing what's going on. And she's going around to people, you stand up, God told me you're getting the nation of Ecuador, and you're going to lead a national ministry, you're going to have a worldwide ministry. And I'm like, this is awesome. Let her come to me, Lord, as anybody would. Let her come to me. I want her to come to me. I want her to come to me and just look at me and go, you. Oh, my goodness, you. And I'm like, me? Now, she didn't do this. I'm just praying that this happens, And I want her to say, stand up, And I want her to point at me and say, God just told me that Billy Graham's going to resign in 10 days and he wants you to take over. Like, I was ready for that to be said. Like, I was ready. I'm just like, please, Lord, let it happen. And guess what happens? She looks at me, and she goes, you. And I'm like, me? And she's like, yeah, you, stand up. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Billy Graham's going to call my phone. This is going to be so awesome. And she looks at me, and she's like, I'm like, oh, this is so much. He's telling her. She's got to remember it, She's like, somebody give me an offering envelope right now. I'm like, what? Said, God told me to tell you. Somebody give me an offering envelope, really. Right here. God told me to tell you to give your very best today. Amen. And walks off. I'm like, what? Like, everybody's getting nations and worldwide ministries and amazing, awesome stuff, and I get an offering envelope. That's what I get. She said, God told me to tell you to give your very best today. And I'm like, well, you are off because I am Poe, right? I got like 2 quarters and I think I can't find one of them in the couch cushion. Like, that's how broke I am. And I went home discouraged, man. I remember driving home just discouraged. Like, where's my national ministry at? Where's an offering envelope? Got upset, man. Threw that joker on the passenger seat. Give your very best today. And God said, you hear what she said? I don't want to think about what she said. What did she say to you? She said, give your very best today. Today. Somebody say today. God, in that moment, just and it hit me right there in that moment. Huh. I've been so busy focusing on what is to come that I have forgotten the importance of what I can give today. And the best that I can give. What? And God's like, what can you give today? And I'm like, two quarters, God. And he's like, no, beyond that. What can you give today? And I'm just one of those stupid people, you know. I'm like, well, just tell me, okay? You know, I have no idea. And God started showing me, like, I can make the best of my marriage today. I can give my best as a husband today. I can give myself to my wife. I can pray today like I've never prayed before. I can read his Bible right now. I can literally pull the car over right now and read his word. I can say no to sin right this second. I can't. And God started to show me that there's a lot that I can give in my today. And we need to be people that understand that God has called us to give our best today, to make the best of our today. And can I tell you, I embraced that mindset and I said, tomorrow will come when it comes. I'm going to embrace what God has given me today and I'm going to give my best in that. And that mindset has equipped my future in ways. That mindset has equipped my future in ways that have blessed me so abundantly. Quit living in the future. Give God your best today. Amen. And number three, it's a statement. Here's how you get back to your today as well. Forgetting the past, quit living in the future, and this one right here. It's a statement that we've heard of before. It's called carpe diem. Now, I know this is Back to the Future Sunday, but I want to play you another movie clip that comes from a movie. If you haven't seen, I strongly recommend it, called Dead Poets Society. Check this clip out.
Now, Mr. Pitts.
It's a rather unfortunate name. Mr. Pitts, where are you?
Mr. Pitts, will you open your hymnal to page 542? Read the first stanza of the poem you find there.
Did the virgins to make much of time?
Yes, that's the one. Somewhat appropriate, isn't it?
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Old time is still a-flying. And this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying.
Thank you, Mr. Pitts. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Now, who knows what that means?
Carpe diem. That's seize the day.
Very good, Mr.
Meeks.
Meeks. Another unusual name. Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines?
Because he's in a hurry.
No. Ding! Thank you for playing anyway. Because we are food for worms, lads. Because believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die. I'd like you to step forward over here and peruse some of the faces from the past. You've walked past them many times. I don't think you've really looked at them. They're not that different from you, are they?
Same haircuts,
full of hormones, just like you. Invincible, just like you feel. The world is their oyster. They believe they're destined for great things, just like many of you. Their eyes are full of hope, just like you. Did they wait until it was too late to make from their lives even one iota of what they were capable? Because you see, gentlemen, these boys are now fertilizing daffodils. But if you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you. Go on, lean in. Listen. You hear it?
It's a sobering clip, isn't it? That's a very powerful, moving clip right there. There were a couple things that Robin Williams' character said, and he said, did they wait until it was too late to make from their lives even one iota of what they were capable of? And he said, because today these boys are now fertilizing daffodils. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Why? Because today is all we have to work with. Yesterday's gone, and you don't have tomorrow yet. If you don't take advantage of your here and now, if you don't seize today, you're destroying your tomorrow. You'll never experience the full potential of your there and then. And listen, God never said that this was easy, something we could do blindfolded with one hand tied behind our back. If it was, we'd be doing it all the time. It's tough. Life in general is possessed with feelings of wanting to hold on to our past, of wanting to wish for better days. But God says, I've got something for you today, and what I have for you today will get you away from your yesterday and to your tomorrow. In closing today, I want to invite our deacon teams that are available here today to be and scheduled here to be at the altar here today. But I want to encourage you to love what you have the opportunity to do today. There's power in that. There's power in that. Love the opportunity of what you get to do today. Somebody say today. What you just said is what God has given you to make the very best of. Now I want to talk to our dads in the room. If you're a father in this room, I want to ask you, if you would, to do the honor of standing right now. Can we let these heroes know how much we love them, how much we appreciate them, the investment they have in our lives, not just those here, but who they represent. They represent our fathers. They represent fathers all around the world. And dads, if you would, remain standing.